Their ministries have been a lot of it together in the early years. And they're going to kind of reminisce about that and just different things. I want them to talk to each other and to talk to you tonight as things come to their memory. We'll probably cry some tonight and we'll probably laugh a lot. But I want to tell you what they're going to tell you. Preachers today has no idea. No idea what it was like in those early years. I remember a little bit of it. I was just a little small boy. I remember Brother Ed walking to his meeting. I remember he and my dad walking to work, hitchhiking to work. From Chatsworth to Dalton, and hitchhiked back that night. And, you know, a lot of fellas would have gave up. But these men have stayed true. And I really count it a real honor to have them tonight. So come on, fellas. Brother Cape, you just sit here with your wife and turn your mics on. And so, fellas, just started.
Good to see you, Brother Broom. Good to see you, Brother Ed. Glad to see you. Like Brother Bobby said, we did start out to... I guess I started a little before Brother Berman, not a whole lot. I began my ministry in 1946, second Sunday in August, 1946. I saved August the 27th, 1935. Now, if your arithmetic's pretty good, why, you can figure that out. August the 27th, 1935. That sounds so good, I believe I'll say it again.
Yeah. Right.
August the 27th, 1935. I saved at Conestoga, Tennessee. That's not far from here. That's over in Polk County. And it still is real today. And, well, it's real in my heart that God saved my soul that blessed day. I never have been lost since that day. Never have. Now, I'll get this part of it started, and then Brother Berman can join right in. I was called to preach November the 23rd, 1943. I said many times, 20 minutes after 12. I was in the Army, and I was stationed at Camp Walters, Texas. And I was saved and called to preach on the in A Company, 2nd Platoon, upstairs on the 2nd bunk. That's where God spoke to my heart. Now, I never surrendered to that call till 1946. 1946. I surrendered to the ministry and preached the first revival I ever preached at Dewberry Baptist Church in Murray County, Georgia. I can't remember, Brother Berman. Can you remember when we met, what year we met, about?
You want me to tell you where I met you?
Yeah.
Yeah, go ahead.
Over in the old Dugan Baptist Church, called it Shake Rag.
I know, that's Shake Rag, yeah.
And Ben and wife went over there and was having a foot washing.
Hey, wait a minute. How many of you ever been to a foot washing?
Yeah.
All right, go ahead.
First one that I'd ever been in was a foot washing. I went over there. Old man knew the hooker. Had his overalls rolled up his knees, and somebody washed his foot, whatever you want to call it, and he got happy and run out of that church, run out in the yard, shouting like a wild man. That first three joints of that stove was red hot, cherry red, and Ed Blue, and Vance Hooker, and Howard Rice. And old brother Sam Crumley.
Oh, yes.
I have never saw such a meeting in all the days of my life. That's where I first met Brother Ed Blue that I can remember there. And he probably met me on the streets of Dalton some before then. And so a fellow come down there and wanted to wash my feet. And I didn't know nothing about foot washing. I told him I'd wash my foot before I come to church. So old brother Larkin Mann. And so that's why I remember being in the service. We had a good time. Like I said, we started out, we just did as good as we knew how. And so a lot of these traditions that we was in, and we got converted out of them and read out of them, we found in the Word of God that a lot of it wasn't practical in a Baptist church, but we were saved in a missionary Baptist church. You want me to go on?
Go on.
Well,
I'm
enjoying it. And I say this, when I got saved, I was an old sinner at the Morningside Drive Baptist Church. And I heard the man of God preach, and I went down and got saved, and God called me to preach that same night he saved me. And I preached all over the church, went back the next night and joined the church, preached all over the church, got baptized the following Sunday in Mill Creek like they drowned everybody in there. I preached, but I was kind of like a bootlegger. They called it bootlegging, you know. They didn't listen to me. And I was going to preach, and I told Evelyn, I don't see why I have to tell everybody. I'll just preach about it. So it got so hot on me, I went and I said, well, I'm going to Detroit, get a job, and I'm going to send for you and the boy. And I said, we'll move up there away from everybody. How sad, you know, that is. I know no better. So enough then got me a job at Bud Wheels on a defense job during the war. And I went over in Canada over there, went on the Hudson River over in Canada, buying some of that Roman Catholicism, you know, plaques and stuff. I didn't know no better. And so I was up there, and God got a hold of me and said, listen, Cape, you're going to catch a greyhound bus. You're going back to Georgia, and you're going to preach. Well, I looked around, and I said, what? And I laid that plaque down, I said. I went back that night and I told a man I was quitting. He said, you can't quit. This is a defense job. He said, we're making stuff for the Army. I said, I don't care what we're making for. If you'll show me where the time card is, I'm punching out. I'm going home. Amen. He said, well, come back tomorrow. And I went back and got my check. I said, well, where can I get it cash? He said, well, there's a saloon right out there. I said, I don't drink. He said, well, if you get it cash, you're going to have to go in there. That's the first time, the last time I've been in one since God saved me. Went in there, and the fellow said, well, you'll have to buy something. I said, well, give me a pack of cigarettes. Well, I bought the cigarettes. That's right there. I didn't smoke it. I walked out the door and threw them cigarettes in the garbage can. I said, well, I thought about that. And I got on that Greyhound bus. And here I come back to Georgia, and we're having down there. Ed, he'd drive that old 18-wheeler back up there, George Murdoch's truck. He'd put them old air brakes on. I could hear him, you know, and I'd go out there and blowing all that lint out of my nose and nostrils. And it was awful. And so we had prayer meeting there every Thursday, and they said, well, we're glad to have Brother Berman back, and we're going to ask Tim to how the devotion. I jumped up just like a rabbit out of a cane brake. Said, thank God I'm called to preach. I'm going, and I want to preach it. So, then 1949 then, when gave me some license, you know, wrote down on a little piece of paper, looked like they tore off of a calendar. And I thought that was going to help me. I thought that was really going to put me on fire.
You thought that'd make you preach better?
Oh, Lord have mercy. I had them, and I wish you could see them. They fell upon Alice's overall bib, and I didn't know what they was, but anyhow. And so 1949 then, they ordained me into the ministry. And I was called to South Cutter Baptist Church, and then the next conference, then they call me to Morningside Drive. You want me to go ahead and tell this?
Oh, yeah.
You talk a little.
Go on.
You go ahead and talk.
Go on. No, tell it. Go ahead. Morningside Drive. Take it from there.
And, I had one of them the first and third Sunday morning, Sunday night.
Hold. You had what? First and third? You didn't preach every Sunday?
Yeah. But wait a minute. Moderate him. First and third Sunday morning, Sunday night. Second and fourth Sunday morning, Sunday night. Second Sunday morning, fourth Sunday night. At 2:30 and drove 50 miles. And you and Pauline rode in that old 35 Ford. All the tire rods had burned out in it. Had about five boots, and you folks know what a boot is.
Tell them what a boot is.
You don't wear it. That's when the tire wears a hole. You get your boot put in there, put your inner tube in there. When you put the tar back on, 9 out of 10, you'd pinch a hole in the tube, and you'd pop it up, and it wouldn't stay up. You'd take it back off, patch it up again, put it back in, pump it, and go down again. Amen. And so I had three churches at three times, at one time. I'd preach over here, and I'd preach down here. The time I got back over here, there's backslid. Time I got back over there, there's backslid. So I was like a blind dog in the meat house. I didn't know which way to go. But that was the best time I ever had. Didn't we have time, honey? This just starting of it. And so I've just had a good time. It's been the best trip I've ever had.
Amen.
And it's going to be a good landing. And you young preacher, God bless you. You've got a flower bed of ease.
That's true, brother.
And the most I ever got in a love offering was $8. And I worked with this fella, and he never was married. He had a little money. I asked him to go to church. I said, "You been saved?" He said, "Yes." I said, "Well, where you belong?" He said, "I belong down at River Bend." I said, "Well, I'm the pastor. I've been there about 6 months." He said, "I'm glad you told me. I'll be down Sunday." So he put a $5 in the collection plate along with the other three, and I had $8. Now, you can't get no richer than that.
No, no, no.
And so old Brother Hinton, an old deacon, bless his heart, he come back with a collection plate and said, "Somebody put a $5 bill in here. Did you mean to keep all of it?" God burned the record. I jumped up and I said, "For goodness sake, ever who put it, come get it, let's go to meet." All the fella I knew put it in had to been old Homer Smith. I know it was, because I knew everybody. You know, you didn't put dollar bills, you just put change in there.
Oh, yes, yes, sir.
Amen.
That's right.
And it's just been a good journey. I don't regret nothing about it. I've had a good time with the Lord, and so the Lord finally got me out to where I could, you know, make a living. Amen. Where I could have something, you know. Me and her, for the first 10 years, we didn't ask what we was going to have to eat. I know what it was. We had lamb meat every morning. We took fat back meat, lambed it up against the wall, cooked it, made some good old gravy, some good old biscuits. Now that's it's a little comical, but you have to have a little humor in it.
It wasn't comical then.
No, it wasn't.
No, it wasn't comical. Now, some of you, the preachers, how many preachers we got here now? Stand up.
Young preachers.
Sit down. Thank you, gentlemen. let me say this. He went by that real fast, and that's the reason I said what I did. Back in those days, they called it pastoring part-time churches.
Circuit riders.
Well, that's right.
Yeah.
But we didn't have anything to ride.
No. No, not a bicycle.
But they call them part-time churches. You pastored three at one time?
Three at one time.
Boy. I pastored two, the most I ever pastored one time. First and third, second and fourth.
Yeah.
That's when you preach. And, I thought all the churches was that way. I thought that was true. And when I found out for the first time that there were churches that had service every Sunday, I couldn't believe it.
No.
I honestly didn't believe it.
Yeah.
That they had, and I found out, do you remember when you come to Rossville, Mount Olive?
I come up there in 52 and you followed me in 53.
Yeah. And, you know, I might well confess it. I was still driving a truck and they called Berman to Mount Olive. And, I found out, and I couldn't believe it, that he was going to pastor a church and they was going to pay him a salary.
$65 a week. Yes, sir. From $8, that's pretty good.
That's pretty good. You're not kidding. And he called me to come up there and a big old building. I was scared to death. I was scared to death. I thought, my goodness, I've never preached anything like this. I've been used to preaching in brush arbors, street corners,
chicken houses,
or anywhere. But here I was in a church that they had electric lights.
Yeah. Yeah. Electric light.
Yeah. Hey, listen, I'll tell you this on Brother Burma while since I'm at Mount Olive. While he's pastoring there, they got air conditioned, central heat and air.
Oh, yeah.
They got central heat and air.
Okay.
Well, they told him when he got it installed, now I'll let him take the story in just a minute. They got it installed, said, now, you'll have to go up to the church on Sunday morning and turn it on a little early for it to be able to get everything cooled off. Well, Berman, the best I've got the story, and you stop me if I'm wrong, he went up there and turned it on and sat down to see what was going to happen, and it didn't get cool enough to suit him, so he wound her all the way up.
I didn't know.
He turned it wide open. Now, here's what he told me. If he lied, he lied. He said he went back, you know, and everybody just coming into the church. Why, naturally, that absorbed some of it. That took it off. But he never thought to turn it down.
No.
He never...
I thought the height was a better deal.
Well, he got to preaching and moving around, so he was staying warm. And everybody in there was going... And he thought they'd happy. He thought they'd get blessed, and they're freezing to death. They were freezing, slapped to death. Not long after that, they called me to Chattanooga.
Yeah.
Reckon that's the reason Chattanooga's in the shape it's in?
I don't know.
They called me to pastor a church in Chattanooga, and I went to Olive Street Baptist Church, 1954. Talk into that microphone, right? 1954. Huh? All right. 1954, we came to Olive Street Baptist Church. You was making how much when you went to
65.
Well, we had you beat. We were making 75.
Well, I stayed.
But we paid our own rent.
Oh, yeah.
Paid all of our rent, all of our bills.
Yes, sir.
And most time now, thank God for it. Brother Berman said a while ago, you got a gravy train. I'm glad of one thing, and I'm not patting us on the shoulder. But I hope and pray that we've made it easier in some ways for the young preachers that'll follow us.
Yeah.
We've tried to hew out a good trail.
Yeah.
I ain't ashamed of it.
Amen.
I ain't ashamed. That old 40, so what model was it?
35.
1935. Hey, let me tell you how we look. Can I do that?
Y'all had close communion in the back seat of it.
See, he didn't have no shock absorber on. He'd go around the corner and the tire hit the body going, wah, 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 wah. Hey, sound like a dog bark.
Shipped on that sign.
I never would have forget. Oh, Lord help us. Brother Berman had come by and picked me and Pauline up. And somehow, woo, I got me a necktie. It was that wide. It's all green. Oh, my soul.
Double-breasted.
Burmington, where'd you get that? I thought he'd bragging about it. Found out years later he was laughing at you.
You'd have made a quilt and put it on the bed, maybe.
Oh, my soul. Oh my. But those were days. Good old days. Brother Berman said they were good days. They were blessed days.
Yeah.
We saw a lot of people saved.
Yeah.
And you know the one of the glorious parts about it now, I still, and it's a real blessing. I run up on people today, said, and I may not remember the church and a lot of times if you come to me, and I'm sure it's the same with Brother Berman, if you come to me and said, do you remember preaching to so-and-so? And I kind of look at you funny. I don't remember where so-and-so's at.
That's right.
I don't remember the church. You may say, well, you know his name is so-and-so. As many churches as this man's been in and I've been in, you can't possibly remember them all. There's no way. And I have preachers and people. I have people that walk up to me. I've been coming here with Brother Bobby now for, you know, off and on for a long, long time. But I know you people. I know your faces, but a lot of you, I couldn't tell you your names if I had to. I don't say I don't love you. My memory's like you. It's bad. And I just can't remember. But those were real, real good days. But then he came to Rossville to pastor full time, and then I came to Olive Street in Chattanooga. And it's been a good road. How many churches you pastor, Brother Burma, you know?
Yeah, Lord, that I don't know. You know, honey, I could name them, I guess. South Cutter, Morningside Drive, Riverbend, Hinton, Mount Olive, Cloud Springs, Calvin, Alabama, Bible Baptist. What's that, eight? About eight?
Yeah.
Let me tell you about this cold weather down at Mount Olive. Most of them folks are Sand Mountain. That's no reflection. Best people in the world are Sand Mountain. Old man said, come out shaking. He said, Kate, if it wasn't Sunday, I'd go home and feel hot. What he said, cold in there.
Why, he had it wide open.
Yeah. Yeah, them good days, I don't regret a bit of it. I mean, everybody has to have a start. You see, me and Ed both, we know we just come out of poor families and didn't have none. They could have did a lot of better, but they didn't. I mean, but anyhow, there are a lot of folks poor. They give us what they call poundings.
How many of you know what a pounding is?
Last month. Yeah, I used to go out there in that old 35 Ford, and boy, I'd have taters and maters and meat and fryers tied by the legs, you know, laying in there, eggs and butter and all that stuff. Man, give you a pound, and that thing would be packed full. It's good. Let me tell you this about Junior. He was a little old boy and was over on the mountain passing that church over there in Hinton, Georgia. We'd go up on Saturday night when we'd have conference, and then we'd preach Sunday afternoon, come back. We went in this big old house. You went home, spent the night with folks, and went in this old house, and the windows were half out, the wind was blowing right in the corner. There's a big pole, drove up right in the corner of the room there, and had two or three big hams on it. And the wind blew through that window, and that old ham goes, Junior couldn't sleep all night. He was scared to death. I said, son, that's ham. We'll have ham for breakfast. We got up that morning, went out on back porch, broke the ice and dipped in the water bucket, and washed her face a little bit, you know, and just take chills all over. You didn't have no warm water.
No, what you talking about?
We went in and sat down this first time. Now, I was poor. Even poor folks called us poor. And we're so poor, we had to borrow the next door neighbor's hound dog to rabbit hunt with, and that's pretty poor now. I'm just using that as that. But anyhow, we went in and sat down that morning to the table, and we were sitting there, and it's the first time that I'd eaten the bologna for breakfast. And that bologna was fried, and his curled up and had gravy made out of it for breakfast. And Junior said, Daddy, is this ham? Now, I like to fell out. I mean, the poor folks, I was hoping it'd be ham too, but I seen when we first got in, there wasn't no ham, because good ham don't curl up. Amen. Oh, you stayed in them homes. I mean, you got into it.
Did you get in some bad situations staying home?
Now, witnesses, one night we went to a place to stay, didn't have no screen doors, no screen windows, nothing. And flies eat us up all night long. And it was pitiful. And have you never slept in, anybody ever slept on a straw tick?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Well, I guarantee you, son, they're worse than bed bugs. You get two or three straws sticking out of that mattress, it'll make you sing Amazing Grace.
I know it.
Then we get in these homestay, and they had feather beds. And they put the feather beds.
Oh, them was rich folks, though.
Yeah, feather beds.
Feather bed
in the wintertime and put them straw ticks back on in the summertime. But we stayed in all them places like that, and that was good. It was real good training for all of us. I don't, like Brother Ed, I don't regret a bit. I just done the best I could and done what them old-timers taught us to do. They didn't have a lot of theology about their preaching, but I'll tell you one thing, they preach hellfire and brimstone. They preach enough salvation to get you saved.
Amen.
I appreciate that.
I remember him talking about getting in homes to stay in. You got in some situations that you'll never forget, I promise you that. I remember that Pauline and I went to have lunch. I guess it was a Sunday lunch. Sunday lunch, and I felt something down on the table bumping in. I thought it was Pauline kicking my legs or something. I didn't know, but I felt something, and I looked down, and there was a couple of pigs in the house.
Yeah.
In the house. And they had made a stacked apple cake and baked it in a wood stove, and the oven part up where the oven was at, and the firebox was broke. And I remember so well that there was ashes in the cake. Ashes in the cake. Oh, that's good.
Yeah.
That's good. I remember another time, Pauline wasn't there that day. If she had to be, we'd have been in bad trouble. Bad trouble. She would have passed out. But this lady kept saying, said, "Brother Blue, I've got something special for you to eat today." And I said, "Wonderful, wonderful." And she said, "I have got some good, fresh, country butter." I love good butter. I just do. And I said, "That's wonderful, wonderful." And she brought a bowl around, and it was full of butter, and she took a knife and smoothed it. It looked nice. And she said, "I've got some wonderful, good, hot biscuits for you to put that butter in." Hands up. You gotta believe me. You just gotta believe this. You just gotta believe this. She gave me a knife, and I cut down in that butter, and I hit something. I knew I was in trouble right then. It was too bad, too late to turn the bowl around. So I hit something, and I thought, "Well, let me just come out with my knife." And when I did, it was a bloody Band-Aid.
Yeah.
What do you mean? Yeah, right. And she said, "I wondered where I lost that." I said, "I found it. I found it." And she said, "Well, let me get you another bowl." I said, "No, that's all right. That's all right. That's all right. I mean, that's all right." But you run into things like that. You just did. You got in some bad situations by staying in home. It wasn't the point. Now, I heard my papa used to say, they said, "There's no disgrace about being poor, but you don't have to be filthy."
That's right.
Do I hear amen right there?
Amen.
Then I'll go home with you sometime then.
Yeah.
But I remember things like that. I just remember things like that. Did you get in some bad things staying at home?
Bad things, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. But Oh, Wes, we'll get into that later. But I've never been able to just, for instance, how would you have felt to come dragging out of the butter dish a bloody Band-Aid? Could you have finished the meal?
Everybody sitting there looking at you.
And everybody sitting there looking at you. And they saw it, and they knew it. So I called that off right there. I said, "I just believe I've lost my appetite right there."
Yeah.
But on the road that I've been on for all these years, you run into bad situations. It don't make no difference where you're at. I told a story the other night to some young folks. I was in a revival in Nashville, Tennessee. And I got there a little late that night, and I told the pastor, I said, "Now, if you'll show me where I'm going to spend the week at, where I'm going to be staying at, why, I will take a shower and get ready before we can go to church." He said, "No, because we're running a little late." Said, "We'll take you down there after church." I said, "Okay, that'll be fine." So we went on to church that night. I rode with him and his little boy and his wife down to church. And that night, I didn't think I preached hard. I didn't think it was a real mean message or anything like that, but on the way back, I could tell something was wrong. I knew it was. I just knew something was wrong. It's real quiet. Now, this was in August. Hot, hot, hot weather.
And we got back up to the house, and I said, now, preacher, if you'll show me, take me down to the motel, well, I'll go to bed. I'm real tired. I remember he said, get your things out of the car. You can stay here at the house. Well, I said, okay. Nice place. Real nice place. Took me in the house, and I knew I was in real trouble when we started back down the hall. And how many of you have saw these little disappearing staircases you can reach up and pull down in the hall? With me.
August.
Say it again.
August. Hot.
Right. Hot. Hot. And I never will forget the words he said. That he let the little staircase down. And he said, get up there, preacher, and we'll hand your things up to you. And hurry, all the air conditioning is getting out. Say that word again. August.
August.
So, I went up in there, crawled up the little stairs, and they handed me my things up there. And I remember there was one little light bulb, and they had some planks laid down over the insulation. And I remember they had an army cot with no sheets or nothing on it. And they had a nail on the rafter for me to hang my clothes on. And I hung my clothes on, and they had an exhaust fan up here. And I remember they closed that door. They closed those little stairs. I remember so well. I was dripping wet with sweat. I mean, I was just running off of it. And I felt myself beginning to get sick, very sick. True. I opened those stairs and got the most of my things that I could with one load. I remember I had a Volkswagen Bug. That's what it was.
Oh, yeah.
And I remember so well, I walked back down the hall, and him and his wife and boy were sitting there watching television. They never said something wrong. I didn't have any money. I had I'd brought $20 with me. I walked by there where they're sitting. They had to see me. Walked back out the door. They had to hear the door close. And I slept in my car in the preacher's yard every night that week. He would come out and ask me if I wanted something to eat. Did I want something to eat? Ask me if I wanted something to eat. And every time I went in there, you say, well, why didn't you leave? God wouldn't let me. There are some situations you'll get in,
Yeah. You
want to run, you want to leave, but there's times God won't let you.
Amen.
I remember so well, Richland, I hadn't remembered that name in years. Richland Baptist Church is where I sat. And I remember the pastor of a great big church heard that I was there and heard me preach and come to me and said, will you preach on the radio every morning? Do you see why God wouldn't let me leave? God had a work for me to do, even though I had to sleep in the car.
Yeah, oh yeah.
Now, if you young preachers think it's going to always be a bed of roses, you're crazy. It's not going to be a bed of roses.
Right.
It's going to be a battle, and I don't know. I'm having the best time I've ever had in my life, but the same devil that fought me then and gave me a hard time then still give me a hard time now.
Yep.
Amen. Amen. All right. Any of you got any questions? Any of you young preachers? Anybody?
Brother Ed, let me say this. I can say this to all these young preachers, that every bad experience that you have out there, God will bless you two or three times further down the road. I guarantee you, take all them downfalls, get discouraged, and I can say this truthfully, that I never have used the word quit. I've been disgusted a lot of time, but I never have said, and I've heard preachers say they just throw the Bible down and said, I quit. But I never have said that. But every time down the road, God will bless you three or four times more. You get discouraged, you get down and out. But I want to tell you what, just keep on staying with the stuff, and God will bless you and honor you further on down the road. Self-experience is the best teacher that you'll ever have in your life. And there's two things. I've said this that nobody will ever have at the same time. You'll never have wisdom, and you'll never have youth at the same time. When you get wisdom, you'll be too old to use it then. You'll be ready to check out. I know by self-experience, and I don't regret a mile. Like I said, I've been all kind of problems and everything in the world. Wondered how to make it, and I've struggled and went down through life. And God knows, I'm telling you the truth, that Dalton down there, the man is still living, his name was Doc Enid. And I didn't have no money, and I went to him to run a fitness station, this center man. I said, Doc, can you let me have some money, or have some gas, every week, let me pay you? And he said, preacher said, I'm just poor and starting out. He said, I can let you have $5 a week gas. Of course, gas wasn't about 20 cents, 25 cents a gallon then. And I'd go down there and get that gas, and I'd go down there, and I wouldn't get enough a lot of times to even pay my gas bill. But I paid Doc Engel everything I owed him down there. And I don't know where he's still living or what. And I looked at them things and wondered why I had to work and pay my way all down through there. God's blessed me and honored me all the way down through, and I haven't lost a thing, and I'm out ahead, praise God. Don't ever let the devil discourage you.
Oh,
when it gets rough, just keep on going. He said he'll never leave us, never forsake us, but he'll go with you always, even unto the end of the world. The Bible said, but my God shall supply all of your needs according to his riches in Christ Jesus. Amen. And the Bible said he exceedingly can do, even exceedingly do, above anything that we can even ask to think. So you young preacher, God bless you. Just stay on with it.
Amen.
I remember we preached one time in Dalton, in a chicken house. A man that's first place men ever never moved out of, as we was married, is a young man, and he and I was sitting with him, and I'd go in from work, and he'd be sitting there reading his Bible. He still lives in Dalton. And he raised chicken up on the Cleveland Highway, and asked me and Blake Card and Jesse Moore, we'd come run a meeting, went up and run a 3 weeks meeting. Best I remember, we didn't get anything, and in this old chicken house. And then after that, we constituted the church, and it's Cleveland Heights Baptist Church. Been there all these years. Not well.
Hey man, I know that, Buck.
See that?
I didn't know that.
See, 1950, we was in Brother Petit's old chicken house out there. And we all worked, and I remember what Blake Carter said. He said, well, Kate, we've been here about a week or two, and said, I hadn't saw a chicken nowhere around here. And so you was called to preach that. So you see that, that's a blessing right there. Amen. So we didn't get nothing, but, you know, we just worked and done the best we could. But God will always bless you. You don't ever worry. You'll never come up to the end short. God will bless you all the way through.
Now that I think about it, we went preaching those days. I don't recall that I ever even thought about getting any money or anything like that. I don't think I did.
Nobody had any.
No, that's the truth.
That's right.
I remember Pauline and I, we got an old, I believe it's a 37 Chevrolet. Old Chevrolet, I don't remember. It's an old car. And what was that man that got killed out of below Dalton?
Lee Keith.
He was a second coming preacher. But anyway, I don't know how I got it, but I got the he was a preacher that go and preach on the streets.
Yep.
And I got the loudspeaker, one of the big old horns, you know, that you saw them way back years ago. I got one of those. I got that and the speaker system that Lee Keyes had when he got killed down south of Dalton by a train. Now, here's what we did with it. Pauline and I would get up on Saturday morning, and I remember so well. Oh, what a blessing. What a blessing. Thank God, what a blessing. And we'd drive up to a little old town somewhere.
Yep.
And Pauline would be sitting in the back seat with that little old record player, and she'd play a record. And I had a little old microphone on a stand. Boy, we was big time.
Yeah.
Big time.
Yeah.
And I'd get outside the car, and Pauline would play me a record over that loudspeaker. Back in those days, people would gather around.
Oh
yeah. I'll tell you a story in just a minute. But they'd gather around, and I'd preach, my hands before God. I'd preach, we'd travel to little towns, And I'd preach 5 and 6 times on Saturday.
Yep.
5 and 6 times. I'm going to tell you something, fellas. If that preach is burning inside of you, you've got to preach.
Yeah.
I mean, there's one thing about it. I couldn't help it then, and I can't help it now.
No.
I got to preach.
Amen.
And I remember so well, Pauline played me some records, and we'd preach there, give an altar call, and go to the next little town 5 and 6 times on Saturday. But I remember so many times. But one time in particular, I told them this the other night. It was cold. Oh, folks, when I say cold, it was cold. Wind blowing, and I remember so well, Pauline and I got in that little car and headed down the road toward Calhoun, Georgia. Well, we drove up to the little old park down there, just a little old, well, I guess it's still there.
Yeah, City Park.
Little old park, and we parked in there somewhere, and I got out, wrapped up as best I could, and Pauline was there in that little car playing, going to play me some records, Chuck Wagon Gang.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, that's number one, man.
Oh, yeah. And I still like
it. I do, too.
For Church of Christ, but I still like them things. But anyway, Pauline played me a record. If she'd have played two while I was standing out there, I'd have froze to death. I would have froze to death. I'd about dead anyway. Well, she played me a couple, played me a record, and I opened my Bible. And folks, it's the truth. You couldn't see nobody on the streets. Everybody was inside. It was that cold. You couldn't see nobody walking along sidewalks. Everybody was inside. This is what I'll never forget. I opened my Bible and preached. And I gave an invitation. I said, if there's anybody can hear my voice and you're lost, if you'll just come down here on that, we'll get on our knees together and I'll show you how to get saved. I saw a door open on a car sitting by the curb about halfway up the street. And I saw a man's leg come out of that car and an old man come out with a walking stick. And he walked down where I was and said, I wondered why I came to town on a day like this.
Mm-hmm.
And he was 80-some years old. He said, can you tell me at my age how to get saved?
Oh.
And I led that old man to the Lord right there in that old froze cold park.
Yep. Amen.
Woo! Hallelujah.
Amen.
I remember a time I preached a lot of street preaching. I've had people to cuss me, throw things at me. I've had people to spit on me as they walk by. But I saw people say,
yep,
on the streets that I'll see in heaven on the streets of gold.
Thank God. Yeah.
You remember that old man Park over in L.A.J. with a county commissioner or something named Park? Anyway, I remember L.A.J.'s got one of those little squares you go around.
Around the corner.
Around it. And I remember so well, I was in front of the drugstore, going to preach there. In front of the drugstore. And, I did preach. But the crowd gathered so big that they got out in the street. The crowd got out in the street and blocked one of the lanes of traffic, and the police had to come and direct traffic for folks to get around.
Yep.
That was in L.A.J., Georgia. Oh, blessed street preaching.
Yeah.
Blessed street preaching. And let me tell you something, fellas. Don't let your pride get in the way. If God wants you to preach on a street or a jailhouse or a nursing home or wherever it is, just go ahead and preach. Amen?
Amen.
Yeah. John came out of the wilderness preaching. And you just go ahead. Don't let your pride get in the way. But you do what God wants you to do. Oh, it's been a good road.
Yeah.
If I had to go over again, I'd do the same thing in a minute.
Right.
Same thing in a minute. Got rich? No, Berman did, but I never did. I never did. Berman's got all the money. I never did get none of it.
was over at Hinton Baptist Church. Fellow's dead now, Luther Patterson's name. He's over in them mountain, they call it dram drinking. And so they drank. I'd preach on that stuff about drinking, you know. His daddy made all the wine. They took wine, not that it wasn't fruit of the vine like we did.
Great old vine.
Fermented wine. And they made some one Sunday. I took it. Just took, you know, they believed in the cup. You didn't have them little thimbles. Everybody drunk out of one. Lord,
backer juice, snuff, and all. Amen.
They had what they call pyrrhea, and always. I don't know what you call it now. It was a gum disease. Your teeth would fall out, and I didn't want mine to fall out. Some of them old fellas turn it up in their nose, get it, and all. But anyhow, that's true.
It's true.
All them things fermented. Son, I begin to feel good. I took another drink. But anyhow, this old fella drank all the time. And so Ed come over. I got Ed to run, come over and run a meeting. And, of course, we didn't have no sense. I don't want to see folks leave the church, but, you know, and Ed preached, and they'd throw gravel. We'd preach every night. They'd get in the car and scratch gravel. Ed'd say, "Cape, there goes another," and said, "Count it." I'd sit there and count all to leave. I mean, he'd leave us like flies. But anyhow, I got Ed over, and so Ed, I got preaching on that old fella, and I said, "You hide that thing in your barn," and everything, and so he never say nothing, so. Finally, old Ed got in, preached my conviction. Ed said, you had it in the barn, drank it, and said, "You're so hooked on it," said, "you'll put it on your tractor, and you'll drive down the bottom plow all day, you'll take him on." He said, "Well, this is it." Said, "I know somebody's told him." So he come out all and got right. Ed, he said, "I know nobody knowed I carried it to the bottom." So he preached him off that tractor, brother. And would have preachers meeting every fifth Sunday then, you know. Baptists then didn't believe in having church on the fifth Sunday. We all had a holiday. Have Sunday, Saturday night, Saturday night preaching. And this old man, he went down there, he was a preacher, and they wasn't but five preachers there. I mean, they'd preach five all night long. So old Luther, they done preached him half, and he shouted and run outdoors. Somebody went to nominate other preachers and said, "Well, everybody's preached." No, Luther just run back to the door about that time and said, "Well, he's happy I nominate, he preaches again." So he told me and Ed, he said, "Well," said, "they run me through again." Oh, Lord, we can stand here all night. Oh, tell you some things. I done a lot of street preaching, too. I got a silver dollar that I got in Jasper, Georgia. Still got an old gentleman. He was about 70 years old. He got saved, and there's a lady, a mother there with her, and had a little baby, and she got saved. And that old gentleman said, "This is the last dollar I've got, silver dollar. I've got it at home now." He gave that. And then I used to preach at the old Georgia chain gangs. They ought to have them back.
Oh, yeah.
They ought to have them back this year. Yeah. Ought to have them back. Them drunks throw them beer cans out, and then they go back there and pick them up, you know. And, just a bunch of gold breakers. But anyhow, they ought to have them old-fashioned chain gang. But I preached them chain gang and saw them saved. I mean, one time, Owen Phillip and Phillip Moen Summers, and Phillip shot Owen. He's on his knees over there, right out from Chatsworth on the back of a lumber truck. They got in a fight, and he shot his brother on his knees back. Not kidding. I went over there to Chatsworth and visit him in the hospital, and he died. Well, he gave him life, his brother. He went out to the chain gang out that dog. And I was up here at pastoring Cloud Spring Baptist Church, and I went out there, preached to him that day, and he got saved and born again. Went out there on Lafette Road, and he was operating a big shovel. And they were taking shirt out of that mountain, that bank up there, that thing, and caved in and killed him. I went down at the funeral church out there, and I looked, and I said, "Thank God that I went out there and preached to him." And there's another man over there, you'd know him, Chatsworth. He burned his wife and three kids.
Yes.
Mark Pullum.
Yes, that's how I remember.
Now, I just tell you like that. You know, a lot of people chalks them off, and I don't endorse their sins and uphold what they're doing. But folks, we've got a gospel, and that's what Jesus died for on that old cross. The Bible said, blotting out the handwriting of ordinance which was against us contrary. Took it out of the way and nailed it to his old cross.
Amen.
That old slave down there, when he'd commit sin, or committed a debt that he owed, he'd pay his master that debt up there. That old master'd write it, paid out in full. Take it down that old slave's house and nail it up over the door. And every time that old slave went in and out, he'd look up and said, thank God. My debt's paid. Then when he died, he took that down, put it in that old coffin, buried it. Well, I want to tell you, Jesus took my sins back there and nailed it up on his cross.
Hallelujah. Praise the Lord.
Jesus said, I am the door. By me, if any man shall enter, the saints will be saved and go on out and find pasture. And I'll tell you, I went through that door. They nailed my sins on that old cross. Took him down, put him in an old barred tomb 3 days and nights, and he got up. When that old, on the Passover day, when that old Jew got that little lamb, he took it to the high priest, and he kept it 3 days, and put a seal upon it, that it was all right for the sins of the people. When John was baptized in Jordan of John, he come up out of the water, and he saw the heavens open, the Spirit of God in the form of a dove lighting upon his shoulder. He said, this is my beloved Son in whom I'm well pleased. Thank God, God qualified his Son, sealed him. Thank God that he was the Savior of the world to the nation of Israel. And I'm glad he nailed my sin. They ain't a sin in the world. God won't save. Amen. I prayed with him on death row. Ed had, we prayed with him. Lifers and everything else. I'll tell you, don't never give up on nobody.
No.
God loves every old sinner.
Remember how mean they are? Jesus died for them too.
Amen.
Don't you ever forget that. He died for them too. Oh, I've told it many times. It's not a...
I remember that.
Burma said, I remember that. Pauline and I were in Georgia. That's enough said about where. But anyway, we were in Georgia. Pastoring a little church, a little country church, and they had got us a house to live in out in the grove of woods, not far from the church. And I remember one Sunday, I don't know to this day, if you had to kill me, I couldn't tell you what I said. Honest, I do not know. I don't know. But I said something that upset the congregation, a part of the congregation. I don't know who it was, but a part of it. And we went home that night and went to bed. And as we laid down a while, I heard something hit the side of the house right next to where we were sleeping. And then another one, and then another one, and another one. And those people that we had made angry at church had come out there to rock our house, throw rocks at our house. And they were throwing rocks at our house. I'm not talking about gravel. I'm talking about rocks. Well... next morning, we get up, I throw the rocks back out. They come at night and throw them back at the house. That went on for, some time, number of days. One night, we was in the bed sleeping. I said sleeping, we went to bed. You couldn't sleep. They wouldn't let you sleep. And I remember the rocks was coming at the house, and I heard they stopped, just quit. Like that. And I heard somebody walk up on the porch. Pauline said, they're coming to get us. And I thought to myself, oh, yeah, they are. Well, I remember so well, I heard somebody on the porch say, Ed, come out here. Yeah, I don't know about you. But I went to the living room and looked out, never turned the light on the living room, and the little old switch there, I turned the little old light on the porch. And there stood a man out on the porch with a rifle down by his side. And I I knew he was a whiskey man by that belt in it. And I said, "What do you want?" in my manly voice. He said, "Come out here." I said, "What for?"
Go out the back door.
Huh?
Go out the back door.
Well, something whispered peace to my soul. Now, let me say something right here, because I don't want you to miss this. Some of you kids, or some of you young folks, some of you adults, won't have the faintest idea what I'm talking about. But maybe some of you will, back in those days, to show you the structure of the houses, and like, we didn't have a lock on the front door. There was no lock there.
All right, that's right.
There was a nail where the door shut, like this. There was a nail kind of drove into the angle like this, and you just kind of bent the nail over where it kind of hold the door to.
It's the dog.
Any of you remember that? Few of you will. But he said, "Come on out here." And I reached up and got that nail and turned it and walked out on the porch. And every time I'd try to get where I could face him, he'd turn around, turn away from me. And he said, "Preacher, you know I don't go to church." I said, "I know that." He said, "My wife and kids do, though." I said, "Yeah, I know that." He said, "Every time they get a preacher out there that'll tell them the truth," because he used some language right there.
Oh.
God have mercy. And he said, "Every time they get a preacher, well, they're just pouring out of it." He was mad. He had beaten the butt of that gun down against the floor. "Every time they get a preacher," said, he'll say something and they'll run him off. He turned around at me, and I've never saw a man that mad in my whole life. His face was pale. His teeth was together. Slobber was coming out of his mouth. He said, "We've come over here to beg you to stay." And I said, "We?" "Yeah," he said, "we'll tell you." So they've been rocking your house, haven't they? And I said, "Yep." But I promise you, if you'll stay, they won't rock your house no more. All of a sudden, I felt my backbone get real strong.
Yeah.
I really did.
Yeah, stay on another year.
I said, "Who is we?" He said, "Come on out in the yard." And we walked out in the darkness, and he hollered down through the woods, "Hey, Tom!" And down the woods came this voice, "Ho!" Another bootlegger. We walked around the house a little far, and he said, "Hey, John!" "Ho!" Another bootlegger. We went, "Oh, well." All the way around the house. And my house was guarded by bootleggers.
Yep.
Amen. He said, "If you'll stay, you won't have to be kept awake another time." I remember so well, I walked back in the door, pushed it to and never even turned the nail.
Hey,
walked back in the bedroom. Oh, I said, "What is it?"
"I could go to sleep, woman."
Now, that's not the end of the story. Some years later, many years later, we was looking, going through some pictures, photographs. And I picked up a picture of a baptizing. And here I was, standing in the river with a line of men getting ready to be baptized. Guess who it was? Tom and John and Sam. I baptized them all. Woo! Amen.
Amen.
Sometimes you may want to run. My feet have got rabbit in them a lot of times.
Yeah.
But the Bible said, after having done all to stand, when we're weak, His strength is made perfect.
Yeah.
We can win the battle.
Amen.
There will be battles. I mean, there'll be some rough battles. I mean, some hard battles.
Amen.
I mean, some battles that'll bring you to your knees.
Yep.
The Bible said we're more than conquerors through Him that loved us. The Bible said we can do all things through Christ, which strengtheneth us.
Amen.
The Bible said, greater is He that is in you than he that is in the world.
Amen.
The Bible said, thanks be to God that giveth us the victory.
Amen.
You want to shout, Berman? Go ahead. That's all right. We're on the winning side, folks.
Praise God.
We're not of, the Bible said, we're not of them that draw back. We're not of that crowd. We're not of, here Brother Berman and Sister Evelyn and Pauline and I are. Pauline and Evelyn still teenagers, but you know, Brother Berman still shows the scars and battles.
Yeah.
But it's been worth it.
Amen.
It's been worth every step of it. Every single step of it. Yeah, there's been some times when I wanted just to, like Berman said, he never had, but I wanted to throw in the towel myself.
Yeah, you feel it.
But I'm honest before God. I look back now with 2020 side, hindsight is 2020. I look back, and you know what I see? He's been with me every single step of the way.
Amen.
Yes, yep. Amen.
He has been with me every single step of the way.
Yeah.
Now let you break in. If you have a question, just go to it. We'll try our best. But if you've got something you'd like to talk about, go ahead. That's fine.
Got questions that I have right now.
Don't be bashful. You don't have to be bashful like Brother Berman and me. Yes, no. Ma'am. I never heard that really. What was the question again now? Okay, she.
I want to know how long y'all both have been married and how you met your wife.
I take the Fifth Amendment on that.
You're first, Brother Merlin.
Well, we've been married 55 years. Is that what, how long or what?
Well, how you met first.
Well, I have a little humor about this. I told somebody.
Boy, you're in trouble.
Well, I'm not telling that. Anyhow, well, we're just working in a spread house down at Dalton. And she was a mender, and I run an old Chanel machine. And so I went down there first for work, got a job, went down there, and my mother worked down there. And so I looked over and saw her, and I thought, boy, she's pretty. So I asked my mother if she could get me a job, so she got me a job. So I was in there sewing, and she's coming up through there with an arm full of rugs, taking them up to inspect it, and she saw me. She run into a post like the killed herself. She knows it's the truth.
Now wait a minute, did you ever?
Yeah. And so I tried to tell her that I was a little older and I didn't need to marry her, but she'd cry like a baby. But anyhow, I just fell in love with her. That'll be 55 years in January. We've had one of the best marriages, and I never have been mad enough to want to quit her or to want to divorce her. I want to leave her. I never have hit her, never have wanted to fight. Now, I'm like the old man said one time. He said, preacher said, you know, me and my wife's been married 40-something years, and said, you know, we've never went to bed mad at one another. And I thought, now, you're lying. I said, you mean you've ever been mad? He said, went to bed mad at one another. I said, that's right. But he said, now, we have set up a lot of nights. So, I'll stop right there. But I met her at Bob Mathis, Chenille plant, Dalton, Georgia. Amen. You want to comment, darling? Did I tell the truth?
Well, I got out of the Army in 1946, March the 12th, 1946. I got out of the Army. And my dad and mom lived in a little place called Crandall, Georgia. Crandall, Georgia. And when I got home, why, to celebrate my homecoming, they had a prayer meeting, a cottage prayer meeting, and had their house, of course. And they had moved there while I was in the Army. When I went to the Army, we lived right down the Spring Place Road here. But I didn't know any of the folks. I had no idea who those people was that was coming in to celebrate my homecoming out of the Army. World War II. I didn't know who they were. Well, I was sitting in a couch over next to the wall, and this very stately lady came walking in the door, and two girls with her. Two girls. And right there and then, right there on the spot, like Brother Berman, I picked this one out.
Pauline said, what a day.
And 3 weeks later, from that very day I picked her out, 3 weeks later we got married. They said it would never last. Been together 53 years. 53 years. Let me tell you about how we got married. I went to pick her up. I was driving a... Boy, now this is going to get them, Brother Berman. I was driving a Hupmobile.
Oh, Lord, terraplane.
Terraplane. A Hupmobile.
Yeah.
Had wooden spokes in the wheels. That's the truth.
Straight carrying for 2 miles coming.
Well, we went up to, he used this name a while ago, but I'll use it again. We drove up to Uncle, what we call, everybody called him Uncle, Uncle Sam Crumley. He was a preacher.
Yeah.
Went to his house, and we told Sister Crumley we wanted to get married. And she said, well, Sam's down in the field plowing. So I had to walk a 3/4 mile down the field, and there he was, an old mule down there plowing the field. And I said, Brother Sam, I've come to get you to perform a wedding ceremony. I'm trying to say this as good close as I can. You have? I just got through telling him. I tell him I was. Well, I said, yeah, we want to get married. He said, well, help me unhook the mule. So we undid the mule from the plow, and we walked back to the house, me and him and the mule. We took the mule to the barn, and we come back to the house. There Pauline was, scared to death. And I didn't know back in those days. I'd never been to. Had you been to a bunch of weddings?
Well, I never had been to a wedding.
Well, I said, he said, is this the girl you want to marry? Who did he think?
Talk like a woman. Old
yeah, he did
man.
Talk like a woman.
Yeah.
And I said, yes, sir. He said, stand up. We stood up, he said, talked to me, he said, you love her? Now that was about as dumb as you can get.
Yeah.
But I wanted to be nice to him, and I said, yes, sir. He looked at her and said, do you love him? She said, yes, sir. He said, I pronounce you husband and wife.
That was it.
No, I'm not married.
Huh? Y'all not married. How much did you give it?
Nothing.
I didn't have nothing.
You just had to ask that, didn't you?
Well, I paid 50 cents for mine. That's all I had. All I had to buy. I told the fellow, I said, well, I'm going to get something to prove I'm married. He said, well, the 50 cents, said, I'm going to give you a certificate. So he wrote one out, and it's home somewhere. 50 cents, that's all I paid for.
I don't think I gave him. Did we give him any money? I don't think we gave him any money.
We might have given him a...
Huh?
They didn't pay him.
Oh, he said they wasn't paying preachers back no money. I say amen to that. Amen to that.
Pull his corn out for him.
Any more questions? I call this the richest person I ever met. And I really, for this day, believe she's the richest person I ever met in my life. Don't remember her name. Don't remember her name. Don't know who she was. I was preaching a revival at a place called Loftman, Florida. First Baptist Church in Loftman, Florida. Now, that's where Disney World's at now. That's where Disney World's at now. Anyway, the fact we're having daytime services plus evening services. He told me one day, he said, Brother Blue said, one of my members wants us to go down to visit her mother. I said, all right, that'd be fine. And I met him at the church that day. Well, I didn't know where her mother lived. And we had an old four-wheel drive army vehicle of some kind. Called it was swampy, real swampy land. So we got in the car, and we took off down through the swamps and the little roads. And we come out, I guess we drove 15 miles, maybe 20 miles, I don't know. 20 miles maybe down there, and we came out in a kind of an opening. Wasn't no trees there. And there was a little old house. Let me describe the house as best I can. Just a little old house sitting right in the middle of that clearing. The house had no paint on it and an old rusty tin roof. There wasn't no porches or anything like that. It wasn't big. It was small. Just a real small house. I guess it would be from that step right there, that loudspeaker over there, over the wall, maybe, not hardly, maybe that big. And then just a tiny thing. No paint on it, just old gray lumber. And I remember this. There was a hole that had been cut out in the side of the building, and a big piece of tin nailed up on it, and a hole cut out in the tin to run a stove pipe out through and elbow it up. And the windows had shutters, just old shutters on them. That's all there was. No glass. Well, we drove up to that picture. I mean, you got that picture in your mind what the house looked like? We drove up to the house. And the front door was open. Now, you think this is Florida. Sand, that's what it was. Well, I watched an old lady. She stepped up out of the house, And she come running out, clapping her hands like that, saying, the preachers have come to see me. The preachers have come to see me. The preachers have come to see me. And she come up to us, and I'll never forget this. She hugged us. Saying, the preachers have come to see me. The preachers have come to see me. And she said, come on in. I've about got dinner ready. We stepped over into the house. There was no floor. No floor. You said, oh, I thought you said the richest lady you ever met. Listen to the story. Still the richest lady you ever met. We stepped over into the house. And she said, I've got you a place to sit down. And it was two nail kegs with little cushions on the top. And she had one for the pastor and one for me.
And she had an old wood stove over in the corner that she was preparing our meal on. She said, now you all just go ahead and talk and I'll listen. And she kept on saying all the time she was working, the preachers have come to see me. The preachers have come to see me.
Amen.
I remember that day she said, well, I've got it on the table. You know what the table was? It was a piece of enamel, metal, with four two-by-fours at the corner. That was the legs for the table. Now she said, bring your seats and come on, get ready to eat. We went over to the table, and ladies and gentlemen, I don't say this to be funny, but I've never been as hungry in my life. Never been as hungry. We sat down at the table on our little nail kegs, and I looked at the table. Look at my hand now. There was a little bowl about that big around and about maybe that deep full of butter beans. And another bowl about the same size with some rice in it. Two jelly glasses. Do any of you know about Florida sulfur water? Two jelly glasses with water in it. Now listen, don't miss this. One piece of bread, off of a loaf of bread, one piece. And she had tore it in two to give him half of it and me half of it. She said to the pastor, Pastor, would you offer thanks? I never felt God as strong in any place in all my life.
Amen. Yeah.
Never felt the power and the presence of God. He cried, that man cried, and kept on trying to pray, and he cried, and he cried, and kept on trying to pray, and after a while he just sobbed and said, Amen.
Yeah.
Wait a minute. Now, ladies and gentlemen, I hope you've known me for a while, and I'm not going to sit here and lie to you. This is God's house. I got no reason to lie to nobody. I'm an old man almost into the road. She said, she picked up the little bowl of butter beans and said, here, Pastor, take out now and just eat all you want. That preacher took some butter beans out of that dish and put over in there. I think he hit it about three times. And she handed me and said, Brother Blue, get you some butter beans. I hit it about three times. Said, now here's some real good rice. And we both took some rice. It was the best butter beans I ever ate in my life. And the best rice I've ever ate in my life.
Yep.
Now here's, how many of you listen to me? Don't want you to forget this. She said, yeah, Pastor, have some more butter beans. Now wait now, how many dips had we tucked in that, both of us together? Six. He hit it three more times. Said, Brother Blue, your plate's clean here. I hit it three more times. How's your arithmetic going? How many times that make? 12 times. How big is the bowl? About so big. Well, to shorten the story, when I left there, I've never been as full in my life. I remember distinctly looking at the bowl of butter beans and the bowl of rice. And Brother Bob Henson, it was still full.
Yeah, the wedding's on. Wedding's on. Nailed by.
It, but then I wouldn't lie. They were still full. And you know what? That's the best piece of bread I ever ate in my life. And when they started to leave, she followed us out and said, thank you, preachers, for coming. Yeah, when we drove away, I looked back at an old silver-haired lady standing in a sandy yard and said, that's the richest lady I've ever met.
Yeah. Amen. Amen. Praise the Lord.
Amen. Amen. Any more questions? Prettiest Bible I ever saw in my life was in North Carolina. I was with a man in a revival, and I think it was the first or second night,
He said, he told me earlier about a man. He said, this man got saved a few years ago and said, he'll be there tonight. I want you to see his Bible. Well, I said, fine, I want to see his Bible. So he and I, the church was built up high like this, and some steps came up to it. The pastor and I were standing on the little porch on the church. And he touched and nudged me, and he said, there comes the man I want you to show his Bible to. Well, I saw this man, big old tall, rough country looking man, looked like worked back in the woods in the sawmills. Just an old rough country man. And he come walking up to where we was at, and he said to the man, called his name, said, would you mind, Brother Blue, seeing your Bible? Now, this man got saved, and the only Bible he had was one of these great big, you saw them laying on people's coffee tables, great big family Bible.
Yeah.
That's what it was. And he had read it and studied it so much, Brother Bob, that it had flowered out, the leaves, and it looked like it was that thick with scotch tape and tears, and it was yellow. And then the backs had come off of it. There wasn't no backs on it. And it was coming apart, and he took it and laid it down and drilled three holes in the edge of it and put bolts with big nuts on it. I said, can I see it? And he was as serious as he could be. He said, are you going to laugh at my Bible, preacher? Oh, I said, no, sir. Most beautiful Bible I ever saw in my life.
Yeah.
And the preacher said, ask him to quote you some scripture. I want to show you a man that had fallen in love with the Bible. I said, well, tell me such and such a verse. I don't remember what it was now. Bang, bang, bang. No, the pastor said, tell him to quote you a chapter. I said, which one? He said, anywhere. I said, anywhere? I believe the chapter I got was out of Ezekiel. Man, he started. He was just rolling out of his mouth. Now, that, let me shorten the story. The service started, and I had given him his Bible back, and he was so absorbed in the scriptures that he sat down on the top step and started reading again. And he was sitting right there when we came out, still reading. That's what you call falling in love with the scriptures.
Absolutely, yeah, yeah.
That's the prettiest Bible I've ever seen.
Amen.
Yes, and be glad to. I was on my way from Tallahassee, Florida, where it had been revival, coming home on a Saturday night. I was young then, and I'd preach on a Saturday night and start driving home. I don't do that no more. I can't see too good at night, so I don't do that anymore. When I came through a little town, my hands up, I confess it, you don't have to fuss at me after service. And I was listening to a man preach on a tape and enjoying it. And I came through a little town just a little tad too fast.
Yeah.
Well, I came through this little town a little tad too fast and just got outside of it. And down there then, they may still have, I don't know, but they had purple lights on top of their cars then. And I heard that awful sound that you get sick when you hear it.
Yeah.
Oh, I said, oh, no.
Pocketbook began to jump.
Oh, no. Oh, no. Well, I pulled over. What else can you do? I pulled over, and this fella pulled right up behind me. I rolled the windows down of my little old car. He walked up to the side of the car just as polite and nice. Had this great big smoky bear hat on. Handsome gentleman. He said, may I see your driver's license, please? What else could I do? I handed him my driver's license, and down there then, up on this corner right here,
He gave you occupation.
Mine said minister.
School's out then, brother.
He stepped back about four steps from my car, and he started preaching to me about being a lawbreaker, coming through their town that fast, doing that awful, awful, and he preached, and he gnawed, and he chewed, and he chewed, and he, oh, I mean, I just knew any minute he was going to take up an offering, and I was the only one there to contribute. He talked so bad to me. I mean, bad. After a while, he got through with his message. I wasn't saying a word.
No.
And he said, and you're a preacher. And I said, yes, sir, I am. Well, he said, I'm going to ask you a question. He said, if you've got time, I know you're in a hurry. I told him I lived in Jacksonville, trying to get home. He said, I know it's late, but said, I've got a verse of scripture that's been bothering me. Real bad, real bad. And said, my preacher, I took it to him and said, he told me, you just be a state police, I'll be the preacher, don't you worry about it. You can tell what kind of preacher he had. And he said, now, if you've got time, I said, oh, brother, I'm afraid you're going to start preaching again. I said, I've got time. So he said, let me go back here to my car and call in the station, tell him I'm all right. And while he was going back there to use his radio, I got out of my car, and he may have been that far apart from my car, and I laid my Bible down on the trunk of my car. And he walked back up to me, and I said, what is the scripture you've got? And it was John chapter 3, verse 7. You must be born again. Well, I saw I had me a fish. And I took him back over the scripture, first of all, where the Bible said, and the scriptures have concluded all under sin.
Yeah.
I took him the scripture for all of sin and come short of. I showed him how he was a sinner, how we were all sinners, how he was a lost sinner, how that if he died like that, he'd go to hell.
Yeah.
Well, it was my time to preach then. And brother, I was taking advantage of it. I'd have me a ball.
Yeah.
He'd already introduced himself. His name was Humphreys. And brother, I had my Bible in there, and I remember he had a great big flashlight shining on my Bible. Great digging. I knew I had the fish about hooked when I saw that flashlight begin to quiver. And I looked down, and that car was a maroon, and I saw tears begin to drop on the back of my car. And he grabbed my arm, I never will forget, and said, preacher, can a man get saved out here by the side of the road? Yeah. And I said, you sure can.
Amen. Yeah.
And we got down on our knees right there between our two cars. And I led him to the Lord.
Amen.
Now that ain't the end of the story. That boy had never saw nobody shout in his life. He was a member of Episcopalian church. He didn't know what shouting was. He didn't know what the glory was. But we got up, stood up, and there on the side of the highway, he grabbed me around the waist and carried me out in the middle of the highway shouting. And I thought, my God, he's going to kill us both, kill. And he set me down, and I grabbed him up. Amen.
Amen.
And we had a ball. I remember the next day, his wife called our house. And she said, what have you done to my husband? I said, he's out in the yard, running and jumping in the house. She said, he's gone slap crazy.
Amen.
But he hadn't. He was just drunk as a dog.
Yeah.
Amen.
Yeah.
Amen. Anybody else?
What? I didn't. Oh, yeah. One that died. Yeah. One of our little babies born down in the hospital, it was was bad off sick. The doctor told me it was on Sunday, and he said, I don't much believe this baby will make it. And I said, if it makes it through the night, said, we'll send it over to Chattanooga. And so I followed him out in the hall, and I said, Doc, I've got an appointment to preach over at a church. And I said, what do you think about it? He said, well, go ahead, and ain't nothing you can do no how. So I went on over that church, and man, we had a good meeting. And I got up that night and preached, and there's a fellow there that everybody in Dalton prayed for him. His daddy run the American Legion place there in Dalton, and all he did is he had a wife and a bunch of kids, just drank and gambled every dime he had away. And couldn't get in the church. I remember went out there, had caught his prayer meeting in his house one night. So many in the house, people go to the prayer meeting then.
Oh, yeah.
That even we broke the floor in, I mean, the joists on his floor broke in. There's so many in that living room. I thought, oh, Lord, we played it now. That was on Friday night sometimes previous to that. So I went on over that, and I preached that night. And but what I'm going to say, before I went to preach, I sat in the pulpit like this. And didn't have no fans or nothing, doors all open windows. And I saw my brother-in-law walk up in that yard back there, and I knowed what he's going to tell me. And he motioned me to come out like that, and I got up and went back there, and he said, your baby just died. Well, my brother-in-law, he's a sinner then, or backslid, he's supposed to be saved. They all said, now what's he going to think about this? And I said, well, I said, Lord, there's nothing I can do. And I said, I'm fixing to preach. And I said, God wants me to preach, and I'm going to preach. He said, well, I just want to come and tell you. So I got up that night and preached. And boy, I was on conviction. And so I pleaded with him. And so the last verse, he didn't do nothing. The Lord told me, he said, you sang that old song when he reached down his hand for me. I got up and sung that old song when the faith reached down for me. That old boy his legs just come as willing. I mean, he just fell right out there on the floor. We run back there, and me and another fella grabbed him up and brought him that mourner's base. And praise God, he got out and got saved and born again. They like tore that church up. Now, I tell you, his wife, they's on starvation. But when I first retired, I told my wife, I said, Sundays we off, I want to go back to church as I pastored. That was one of the first church that we got to go back to that Sunday I didn't preach. Somebody shouting, tearing on their nanny, gray-headed. And I walked in there, praise God, and there was that old boy. His old man, he is shouting victory. I'll tell you, brother, he is still a shout. And so I was down there somewhere a while back in the meeting. Somebody said that he was dying with cancer. But I never will forget it. As long as I live, I thought, God give life to one, took my little old baby away. But I'll get it back when I get to heaven, praise God. That old boy got saved. Lord, she's born in the family of God.
Well, Bobby, we could stay here and talk. I believe there's two more stood up, but yes, ma'am. Yes, honey, go ahead. Yes, ma'am. How did I start Rock of Ages? The young lady's referring to Rock of Ages prison ministry. It's a simple story. I was down in Florida in revival, and I had started producing tapes, little audio tapes, and we were sending them to missionaries, prisons, or wherever we could send them. And I was down there in revival, and a guard at one of the prisons told the chaplain out the prison about the Rock of Ages prison, about what we were doing. And the chaplain sent word for us to come out there. So we went out to the prison, and the minute that I saw the field and realized it was, I guess, the first time I ever did see the need of prison ministry as strong as I saw it then, the minute that I saw the field, the Lord spoke to my heart. The minute that I saw the field, the Lord spoke to my heart. I came back home, and we were producing the tapes in a little bitty room. Well, it's a closet now in our house. We were producing tapes in that little room. And I told Pauline what the Lord had done to my heart and how God had spoke to my heart. And from that day, We started the Rock of Ages Prison Ministries. Started telling people about it. Started praying that God would send us people to work with us. Started laboring. And today, right now, right this minute, the Rock of Ages Prison Ministry is a nationally known, internationally known ministry. Thousands upon thousands of souls have been saved.
Yeah.
But let me say this. Mom and I are no longer with Rock of Ages Prison Ministry. But every time, every time they win one soul at the Rock of Ages Prison Ministry,
amen.
Mom and I have got part in it.
That's right. You're right, brother.
That's the way we started, honey.
Yeah.
Very humble beginning, but we built one building at our home, and then we had to rebuild on that, and then we went down to the present side where it's at now, and built the first initial building, and that story tells itself.
Amen.
Thank you for asking.
Praise.
Anybody else? I think there was two more stood up, had a question somewhere. Yeah, Brother Roger. How many souls we saw saved in one church?
Brother Ed, I was over in Jacksonville, North Carolina, and I remember, what you meant, one time?
One time. In one church.
Or that, I don't know about that. I remember one night at Rango, Georgia, down there, we had 12 adults saved. But I don't know just at one time. I can't remember.
And I'm going on somebody else's county, not mine. And God keeps the record anyhow. I remember one service, the most I ever saw was 100. That was the most. The most. Somebody else.
Was there one more? Was there one more? Okay. How many have enjoyed this? This has been worth coming to, hasn't it?